morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning. It is January 18th, 2022. It is Tuesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by A Curious Future. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear," by Mark Twain. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking Ritual Fire. This is a honeybush, hazelnut, and cacao nib honeybush blend with aniseed and cinnamon and clove and orange, apples, rose hips. It's definitely the perfect tea for really cold, cold winter nights. So yeah, today we're going to talk about aniseed. So this comes to us from magicalspiritualgifts.com. Aniseed is known as a spice, either ground or whole, and is best known for its flavoring in the culinary world. But it has a magical practice. It is said to help increase psychic abilities and ward off the evil eye. So yeah, you can put it in a little sachet and make a little charm. It's really fun. I definitely would see you using that kind of like... if you have a room where you spend a lot of time practicing, like a ritual room or anything like that, maybe having aniseed in little sachets around the room could be really cool. All right, which is moving on to some headlines. This comes to us from ScreenRant.com, one of my favorite little entertainment websites. I say little, it's huge. So this was written by Helen Armitage, American Horror Story, the backstory behind Miss Robichaux's Witch Academy. So, a safe haven for young witches, Miss Robichaux's Academy is the main setting of American Horror Story Coven, but here's the school's backstory. Ooh. Miss Robichaux's Academy was the main setting of American Horror Story Coven, but what is this school's backstory and history? The third season of Ryan Murphy's anthology series, American Horror Story, premiered on FX in 2013 and introduced viewers to the residents of Miss Robichaux's Academy for exceptional young ladies, an all-girls boarding school located in New Orleans that caters to fledgling witches and acts as a haven for them to master their newfound powers. So... Miss Robichaux's Academy wasn't always a school for witchcraft, however, as Mistress Cordelia Fox explains in the first episode of American Horror Story Coven. The Academy was once a regular educational institution established by its namesake back in the late 18th century as a finishing school for upper-class young women. Later, during the American Civil War, the finishing school was repurposed as a military hospital for wounded soldiers before it eventually became a witch academy in 1868. So the Witch Academy might only date back to the late 1800s, but its roots go back much further. In American Horror Story Coven, all witches are descendants from a group of sorceresses from New England who were taught magic by an enslaved girl named Tituba, who in real life was the first woman accused of witchcraft during the Salem witch trials. When the trial began, the witches fled Massachusetts and headed southwards to New Orleans in search of safety. A couple of centuries later, one of Salem's descendants, an East Coast socialite and early suffragette named Marianne Wharton, purchased Miss Robichaux's Academy and turned it into a school for young witches. So, yeah, this is really fun. And the fact they're writing about this makes me think something's coming. Makes me think something's happening that we need to know about in the American Horror Story Ryan Murphy world. So, yeah. Really, really fun. I love American Horror Story Coven. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, January 18th. The waning gibbous moon gently flickers in the light of Leo today. Here, the moon opposes the conjunction of Mercury and Saturn and squares Uranus. Mercury and Saturn are trying to continue their constructive conversations, but with Mercury in retrograde, it's not going as easily as it had been up until this point. It's possible that you've reached an impasse with a project or discussion you were having. Things were rolling smoothly, and then you realize that there were things you hadn't considered, or details that still need shoring up, or that the ideas weren't quite as solid as you thought they were. It may feel frustrating, but you have to acknowledge that these stumbling blocks are not disrupting the process, they are part of the process. We have to take time to go back through and consider what we've already done in order to be sure that we are ready to do what we have to do next. Keep in mind that once you go through this process, the foundation for the exchange of ideas will be stronger, the project will be fortified, and you'll be more ready than ever to continue to build. Your daily moon mantra is, "The stronger the foundation, the higher you can build." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
This episode is brought to you by Chiffon Duncan Illustration. The artist behind the Witch Daily Oracle is now offering prints and cards at shifdraws.com/shop. shifdraws.com/shop. And just for our coven of listeners, use code WITCH at checkout for 15% off your order. Be sure to follow along on Instagram and TikTok at shifdraws for more spellbinding sketches. All right, so we have a question from one of our listeners, Angelica. Angelica writes, "Hey all, I'm just looking for advice on how to dispose of items on my Samhain altar. I have a bunch of dried leaves and I'm planning on scattering outside, but I wonder what I should do with the salt, corn, cinnamon, clove bowl that I've been using to bring scents of the season into my space. Thanks in advance." So this is a question we've been getting a lot. As the world is becoming like more eco-friendly and more sustainable, I love that witches are like, okay, cool. So how can we maybe adjust practices that's like we've been doing for a long time to best suit this? So I will never get sick of this question because I think it's absolutely wonderful that we're trying to dispose of things in a really eco-friendly way. So my first thoughts, and let me clarify something. I am not an expert in eco-friendliness. I try. I do my best. I've made kind of big shifts in my life, you know, with products that I use, you know, so I try. And I think that's the best we can do is try, you know, try to make little changes. Of course, we need to focus on bigger kind of law stuff to make the big impacts. But I like that we're at least trying to make eco-friendliness kind of a main concept in people's lives. So that being said, it looks like everything you have is natural. So I don't see any reason why it can't be scattered outside. One thing though is make sure you don't have any like oils or anything like that on it in case critters get it, because you don't want the critters to get sick from like maybe spell oils that are maybe toxic. Rachel says you could bury it or sprinkle that too, and if it gets a lot of salt, it could be great for the garden. Rachel says there is a fair amount of salt, and I live in an apartment, so there's no yard for me to bury it in. Rachel says, "I also like to give natural altar items back to the earth, stream, trees. I visit my local park, but yeah, the salt could be an issue." Andrea says, yeah, she's not a fan of adding salt to the ground personally, because if you are a witch, that's a lot of salt in the soil and it can harm nature. Maybe you sift the salt and build onto it with every Samhain year. Something old, something new. Just an idea. Sue says, there would be a good amount of energy and power in the ingredients you've used on your altar. I always like to utilize this. Here's how and why on what I do. I consider anything on the altar to be dedicated to my deities, so I don't want to just chuck it out. Plus, all those ingredients you have correspondences that can be utilized. My go-to method is to either scatter altar salt along a paved boundary. I use homemade incense and scatter the ashes of both the charcoal and the incense along my property boundaries that are biosensitive, or add to a witch ball for protection of the house. Not only do you use what has been effectively charged by the deities and the energy of your ritual, but it is an honorable way and for you to add protective energy to the property every time you repeat the process. It's another layer to the wheel of the year. You can also save some to add to your following rituals bowl, so that there is a continuous cycle of renewal and recycling, but at the same time, nothing is wasted or cast out. I think this is brilliant, Sue. I'm going to give it a little like. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. That's a great idea. I love that. So thanks so much for that. I'm going to mark this as featured on air. So if anyone wants to check it out, they can. All right. So we do have a prompt today. For those of you who don't remember from last week, we are pulling prompts from Evolution of a Witch, 150 Journal Prompts for Witches by me. I basically wrote this book as a journaling prompt, meditation prompt, discussion class, book prompts. So let's see our prompt today. Do you need to update your routine? If so, do it here. If not, what about your routine works for you? I probably wrote this question because routines are a big part of my life. I am someone who needs routines to function in any way. But I also struggle with my routines. So me and routines have this constant battle. I am someone who needs a routine. And if my routine gets put off for whatever reason, it takes me a very long time to get back to my routine. I remember when I wrote The Door to Witchcraft back in 2018, or 2017, I had like this great routine I had going every morning, but I was so overwhelmed with writing that my routine kind of had to go out the window, and I never started that routine back again once I was finished writing. So it was really difficult. And even now when I had to go home when we were dealing with the death that we had, I really struggled with just feeling like I was functioning because I was out of my normal routines. So I'm very routine based. I update my routine regularly out of necessity. So maybe every few weeks I find myself updating my routine. I just started recently using a spreadsheet to not only track my daily routines and daily habits, as well as weekly and monthly. So monthly things are things like, you know, dusting windowsills, cutting my dog's nails, cleaning the shed, things like that. Whereas my weekly stuff is things like mop or wash bedding, and then daily stuff is like my routine. So I've been using a spreadsheet to keep that up. It works for me. Yeah, I'm really bad at working my magical stuff into routines because we've said it before, when you're kind of stressed out, magical stuff typically feels like it's the first thing to go. And so I'm always struggling to work my magic back into my routines. So I would love to hear other people's thoughts on this though. So I'm probably going to post about this in the group because I would like to hear everyone's thoughts. All right, so a little magic today. We are talking about Celtic tree magic. This comes to us from the January 2022 issue of Witch Way magazine, written by Rick Potter. So the modern Celtic tree calendar was devised by Robert Graves in his book The White Goddess and is based on his reinterpretation of the Ogham alphabet. It has been widely criticized as a fabrication by many Celtic scholars as it does not coincide with earlier Celtic calendars. While there is no evidence of ancient Celts or Druids using a calendar that even resembled this one, its origins are irrelevant as it has become a valuable spiritual and magical tool for modern neo-pagans who identify with the ancient Celts. Celtic reconstructionalist pagans reject it utterly as a complete fabrication with no historical basis. Others embrace it as a tool to enhance their magic, spirituality, and connection with nature, and to help give structure to their rituals. Side note, hate to say this, while a lot of witchcraft and paganism and practices and traditions are based in historical stuff, a lot of it people just made up. So in that spirit, do what works for you. Who cares? A Celtic tree calendar was first presented in the 19th century by Edward Davies based on his research with the Book of Ballymote, further developed by Robert Graves in his book The White Goddess, and by Ross Nichols, the founder of the Order of the Bards. The calendar has 13 months of 28 days and an extra day chosen as the year and a day. That really is a very kind of like Wiccan idea, a year and a day. Of course, it exists in other traditions and practices, but I have seen non-magically, but when you typically hear a year and a day, you typically know it's going to be some sort of kind of Celtic Wicca thing. And if anyone actually knows the origins of that, I would love to know. Please write in. So it begins with the winter solstice. In contrast to the tradition of Samhain and the Celtic New Year, despite its origins, it still provides a beautiful framework for the study of tree lore and the Ogham. It has been embraced by many Druids and Celtic pagans worldwide who consider it an inspired work. There's a fine line between fabrication and inspiration. Fabrication implies an intent to deceive, while inspiration is a creative idea imparted by divine influence. Unfamiliar concepts are often regarded as fabricated or invalid simply because they are new. Inspired works do not always come with footnotes and references to back them up. If we truly believe that witchcraft is a living mystical tradition, then it stands to reason that it follows and will receive divine inspiration to help them along the path and draw them deeper in the ways. This information will not always be, quote, previously published, unquote. I agree 100%. Spirituality is spirituality. You know, shoot. Those who ask, quote, where are you getting this information, unquote, and demand to know the book, chapter, page might be disappointed. I will argue if people are claiming historical context, I want a source. But if they're not claiming historical context and just claiming it as their spirituality, it's their business. Here we delve into the murky waters of personal information. Oh, interpreting information received through personal guise can be a slippery slope, because sometimes it is true for you does not necessarily make it true for everyone. But there are times when information is meant to be shared. The trick is in balancing the new information with what you already feel and believe. Sometimes there are no references to compare the new information with. For example, two of my favorite teachers have published books that contain information they receive from communications with plants and spirit guides. Because these are teachers I highly admire and respect, I am inclined to take their experiences as valid ones. It is important to consider the source and look within to see if it agrees with what you feel in your own heart. If it doesn't, don't use it. But at the same time, we do not immediately discount it because we have, quote, never heard of it before, unquote. Another side note, very often too, something we've never heard of is often repackaged for a new generation, but to the old generation just goes by a different name. So, while both works are believed to be inspired by earlier works, the Celtic tree calendar is nearly two decades older than the Wiccan Reed, another inspired work considered sacred to followers of Wicca. Blackthorn Druid witches may choose the wood for their wands according to the tree that corresponds to their birth date. Some find that they have a connection to a different tree altogether, and this is acceptable as well. Look at the dates of the tree, Celtic calendar, and see what it relates to. So, if you are December 24th to January 20th, you are birch. January 21st, February 17th, Rowan. February 18th to March 17th, Ash. March 18th to March 14th, Alder. April 15th to May 12th, Willow. May 13th to June 9th, Hawthorn. June 10th to July 7th, Oak. July 8th to August 4th, Holly. August 5th to September 1st, Hazel. September 2nd to September 29th, Vine. September 20th to October 27th, Ivy. October 28th to November 24th, Reed. November 25th to December 23rd, Elder. And then October 31st is Blackthorn, with December 21st being you. So yeah, definitely check it out. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do have some shout outs. First, Ashley Lan. Ashley, you tenacious, graceful pixie. I also want to give a shout out to listener Jesse East. Jesse, you opulent, bedazzled fey queen. And then finally, Miriam. Miriam, you sparkling, earthy leprechaun. Thank you three so much, Ring Patreon supporters. I really appreciate you. Now, before we leave, we do have a card pull today. Our card is the Jaguar from the Cosmic Creatures Oracle. And I've said before, if you were like an animal kid, you'll love this. So the Jaguar is all about ferocity, connecting the dots and patterns. With incredible vision and laser focus, the Jaguar understands the patterns of life, even in the midst of chaos. Like its fur, the Jaguar can connect the dots, tying together seemingly unrelated ideas where others see spots. The Jaguar sees opportunities. The Jaguar encourages you to chase your passions with persistence and aggression, and gives you the power to release pure force as you push past blocks and limitations. However, this is not all pure spontaneity. It also involves the ability to plan three steps ahead with innovation and foresight. The Jaguar is methodical, so when the right moment strikes, it only takes one blow to make an impact. With unmatched ferocity, the Jaguar is unrivaled in its power and drive. When the Jaguar shows up for you, embody your aggressive side and don't be afraid to go after what you want. Step into the role of a leader. It's your time to be first. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget, any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything else we've referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow. Nope, Thursday.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.